If there's anyone that is coming, they will inform us. But I think we must start, because the other honourable members are busy engaged with other ministers, but they are going to join us in the queue process. Amen. Okay. Morning. I've got three apologies. Sibande is chairing the committee. Honourable West is ill. Honourable Tanambi, Chief Whip, is busy with other committees. Let me welcome the department and the honourable members to this meeting. I see there's so many documents that the department is going to present to us, and we are very pleased on that. So I heard that the DG is not well. She phoned me last night that she's not well. She will send the CFO to lead the delegation. Is that so?
Yeah, those are the instructions we have.
Yes, thank you. Yes. She phoned me last night, and also she sent an SMS about that. Honorable members, I think before we start, we must introduce ourselves and not to waste time, because when I see in front of me, there are so many documents that the department is going to present to us. I'm starting with me. I'm Nolithando Qekani, the chairperson of this committee. I'm from the Eastern Cape, the member of the African National Congress. I'll start from there.
Good morning. My name is Aunel De Beer from the Western Cape Province. I'm a member of the Congress of the People.
Morning. Peace Mabi from Gauteng, ANC.
Good morning. I'm Gauta Mokoro from the Northern Cape, representing the ANC. Thank you. Also the whip of the, thank you, Chair, the whip of the committee.
I've got the support staff. I think I'll hand over to them to introduce.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Asghar Power, Committee Secretary.
Good morning. My name is Deshni Pillay. I'm the Content Advisor.
Good morning. I'm Olivia Sipra, the committee assistant.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Matilda Letago. I'm the executive secretary to the chairperson.
And over to the PMG. We don't hear you.
Come to the mic, ma'am.
Amanda Simakani, monitor for PMG.
Hand over to the department.
Thank you, Chair, honourable members. I will allow the members to introduce themselves, but I'll start with myself. I'm Onesmus Ayaya. I'm the Chief Financial Officer that the acting DG may have mentioned too. And I will allow my colleague here to introduce himself, and others will then follow.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members. I'm Trevor Balzer from the Office of the DG, Program Manager, Special Programs.
Morning, Chair. My name is Matukane. I'm the Chief Director for the Department of Water in Limpopo. Thank you.
Good Chair and honorable members. I'm Tandi Kambasa from the Department of Water, responsible for regions, DDG regions.
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members. My name is Shibura Mpeji. I am the DDG responsible for forestry. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair and honourable members. My name is Sizwe Mkiz. I'm DDG responsible for policy and regulation.
Good Good morning, Madam Chair and honorable members. My name is Bubele Vahalisa. I'm here in my capacity as the acting DDG of Corporate Services for Department of Water Affairs.
Too late, is that it? Don't you know?
I'm Baba Lomanya Zanyaka, responsible for policy coordination and stakeholder management, water affairs.
I'm Risha Pichamulato, also policy coordination and stakeholder management.
Thank you. At least we know each other in this house. At least now, I don't want to waste time. I've already welcomed the department to come and join us in this meeting. I think I will hand over to the department to give us the first presentation.
Madam Chair and honorable members, our presentation will be in the following part: the overview of the annual report, which will be done by Trevor Balza. I will, as a CFO, I will cover the financial aspect, which is contained in the annual report. My colleague Tande Kambasa will cover another aspect. Forestry will be covered by Dr. Ampedi. Dr. Mkize will cover the issues relating to policy and regulation. Anything to do with the corporate services that we use in the department will be covered by Bobele, and in which case, therefore, those are where the performance indicators, if you want to engage on issues around performance indicators, will then be addressed in those presentations. For now, I will request Trevor Balza to give us the overview of the annual report, something that would have been done by Nobu Belengele had she not... Had she come here, she would have made that presentation. Thank you.
Madam Chair, honorable members, thank you very much. Just presenting this on behalf of the acting DG. The presentation is up on the screen there, and I understand that copies have been circulated as well. The presentation will cover three key areas, giving some of the highlights, some challenges, and then available options. Starting first of all with the highlights on the year under review, and that's in terms of the annual report 2009. In terms of water resources management, Madam Chair, the construction of new infrastructure moves ahead in terms of increasing capacity, in terms of dealing with water scarcity and water security. Three major water resource infrastructure projects were commissioned. Those will be covered in more detail in one of the reports which will be presented by Dr. Mkize. There are 29 dams that have been rehabilitated and refurbished, and Cabinet also approved a Water for Growth and Development Framework, which will also be covered in more detail by Dr. Mkize. With regard to water services, and these areas will be covered in more detail by Ms. Taneka Mbasa. It's related to the strengthening of our enforcement responsibilities, regional support to local government in terms of drinking water quality, and then, of course, the blue and the green drop certification programs, which will also be dealt with, Madam Chair, in greater detail. On the forestry side, where Dr. Shibu Rompedi will be making detailed inputs. Some of the highlights there relate to the forestry sector BBBE charter, which was finalized and signed, the Million Trees Program, where we planted some 1.85 million trees, and that's fruit and ornamental indigenous trees on a national basis. In under administration, key highlights there will be covered by Mr. Vakalisa, Bubele Vakalisa. It's the register for both movable and immovable assets. Well, that part will actually be covered by the CFO. The debtors book, which has been cleaned. The launch of the women's organization. The transformation journey, which the department is embarking on. And then, of course, the graduate training program. And as I say, those will be covered in a lot more detail. In terms of challenges, Madam Chair, there are five major challenges, which relates mainly to the investment, adequate investment and funding, and this is in terms of our water resources infrastructure. And through the presentations, you will pick up that in terms of new infrastructure we require, there's still considerable investment required. And then, of course, in terms of protecting existing infrastructure, the funding required for refurbishment and protection of that infrastructure. The challenge also going forward is in terms of water conservation and water demand management, which will be covered in detail by Dr. Mkiza. That's actually an important aspect in relation to us making sure that we don't run out of water, that we conserve water that we have, and we introduce water demand management activities. One of the other concerns that we have, Madam Chair, you're no doubt aware that from 2001 the department has been transferring infrastructure which was previously managed by the department to municipalities, and albeit that funds were provided for the refurbishment of that infrastructure, we do see that there's a deterioration in some of that infrastructure in the department at the moment during the current year, while it's not reported in the 2009, is looking at another funding stream or engagement with National Treasury to look at refurbishment of that that infrastructure. In terms of the refurbishment of the Category B and C plantations, those, Madam Chair, are the plantations which were not transferred as what we commonly refer to as the Category A, which were grouped with the SAFCOL as the state-owned enterprise, and which were sold off in some of those packages. These were forests that remained with the department under the management of the department, requiring considerable capital input in terms of rehabilitating or refurbishing those forests. But Dr. Mpedi will cover that as well. And, of course, the other challenge which Dr. Mpedi will cover is the funding of forest enterprise development. With regard to regulation, it's the compliance and enforcement side. Challenge there with regard to curbing unlawful water use. This is particularly evident within the Upper Vaal Basin, where there's significant unlawful water use that's taking place. It's also regulation with regard to enforcing our raw and drinking water quality standards. We have seen a deterioration, particularly in the quality of our raw water, largely as a result of effluent spills that take place from time to time into our streams and rivers. So we will be putting more emphasis in terms of monitoring as a challenge, compliance to the standards, and then, of course, within the department, internal capacity to monitor. On the forest side, one of our key challenges is reducing the number of forest fires that we have each year, and obviously there the Working on Fire program plays a key role in terms of work in that regard, together with the Forest, Shibu, help me, the Fire Protection Associations. Have I got the name right? Yeah, the Working on Fire together with the Fire Protection Associations do a lot of good work in terms of combating fires. Going forward also is our support to local government, is our need to balance the support to municipalities while we also regulate or execute our regulatory obligations. This is always a very fine balancing act where in some instances one could argue that the department is a player and a referee at the same time. But it's an area which no doubt Tandeka Mbasa will cover in her presentation as well. And then lastly there under that challenge is the delay in finalizing the transfer of infrastructure to municipalities. There are still a few schemes which were dependent on parliamentary approval before they could be transferred. And in fact, those were submitted to Cabinet last year, and Cabinet asked us to go back to the drawing board in terms of the capacity of those particular municipalities to be able to take over those very large pieces of infrastructure. But you'll see that reflected in the annual report as well. Skill shortage remains a problem for the department, and this is cross-cutting across the department, mainly in the technical field, the scientific and technical fields where we have issues to deal with. Then looking at transformation of the sector, it's the implementation of the water allocation reform program, what we would commonly refer to as WAR, and that mustn't be confused with the activities of the War on Poverty. We've got a program which we've been running quite a while in terms of WAR, which Dr. Mkhize will report on. The other challenge, of course, is land reform and post-settlement support to communities, including the uncertainty and long-term ownership of forest lands. There are a number of land claims which have been lodged in terms of the forest or the land which is vested with the department, and Dr. Shiburu Mpedi will cover that. The financial viability of water management institutions that relates to our CMAs and our water boards, and we continue to engage with those water boards and institutions to ensure that they remain financially viable. Some of the issues which impact on their viability is their ability to actually recover water, their cost for water provided to municipalities. Another challenge is the alignment of systems and processes, which Bubele Vakalisa will refer to. Some of the available options in terms of dealing with the challenges going forward, or those key challenges as I've referred to, Madam Chair, is the implementation of the Water for Growth and Development Framework, the review of the current funding model, that's in terms of the infrastructure provision, the participation in the current discussions held by Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs on amending legislation. It's our learning academy in terms of training graduates and preparing them for the workplace and skilling them up to be able to move in and make a difference once they are accommodated in the department or in other areas of the economy. And then, of course, the implementation of the Occupational Specific Dispensation Program, which will be covered under the admin input. Just going further on the available options is to continue and accelerate institutional realignment project. We have a project, Madam Chair, where we're having a look at options to realign the, looking at our institutions, how they relate to the department and whether there are opportunities for realignment of those institutions. That would cover the catchment management agencies, the water boards, TCTA, etc., to see how we can better utilize those institutions. So the alignment of water, land reform, and rural development programs, and then further going on the investment in systems, capacity building for management, leadership, and talent management. And going further on to the alignment of business planning processes with performance management, and also, of course, the response plan to issues raised by the Auditor General. And I haven't made much reference to the CFO sitting next to me, but he has a key role to play in terms of dealing with the response plan on those issues raised by the Auditor General. Madam Chair, that's just very much a thumbnail sketch as an overview, but the greater detail will come in the presentations by my colleagues, and if I could hand back to the CFO, and he will indicate in terms of what order those presentations will be made. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I don't know, Honourable Members, whether you are going to listen to all the documents, and then after that we'll ask questions, or must jot down the questions and must listen to all the presentations. I think we must hand over to the second one.
Thank you.
We'll jot down the questions and then we'll see.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Honourable Members. I will share with the committee the financial outcome, our financial performance for the year ended at 1st March 2009. My presentation will give you an overview of the expenditure trends as reflected in the annual financial statements, shown in the annual report, if you have it. There is obviously a recorded underspending, and therefore I'll try also to explain those reasons for the underexpenditure. We do not only rely on the voted funds, we also tap into donor money, so I will also share with you about donor money. A key aspect of our funding is transfers and subsidies, which means that we acquire goods and services or assets that benefit other spheres of government or agencies, and which do not benefit our work directly, and I think I'll need to highlight that on how we performed in that particular area. I will obviously indicate to you the previous history of audit outcomes leading into the current year being 2008 and 9 audit outcome. The reason being that it will be important for the honorable members to appreciate that particular history in order to understand the journey we have worked on in this particular case. And of course, the overview of the work played by the audit committee will be something that I may want to mention, because they are a key aspect in responding to a number of audit issues that face us from time to time. For the year that is under review, the main account we spent on the program one, since their budget is allocated by way of programs. Program one, we spent close to 100% of what we were allocated.
We don't have this document. Do you have it, members? Honourable members? Do you have it? We have the annual report presentation, finance branch. We don't have that one you're talking to. We don't have it. So the only document that you have is this one. Maybe. Do we have it? Do we have it? Don't have it. You must have copies, please. Just make some copies, please.
Will I then post, madam, or what do you suggest? Because my understanding is that electronic copy was sent.
Okay, honorable man. You want to say something?
Yes, Chair, that we continue with other presentations.
Yes, I said that. Okay. I'm saying that we must continue with other presentations. Whilst we're waiting for the document to come.
I think we'll allow for that flexibility.
Okay, all right.
In which case, therefore, I would request that DDG Forestry will then give us a presentation on the non-financial aspect of the program performance.
Thank you very much, CFO, honorable members, and Madam Chair. I will be presenting the forestry program. The presentation will cover the key performance areas of the program. It will provide the performance information in relation to the targets that were set and the actual achievements. We will also present to you the future performance of the program and how that links with the current targets that are set by government. I would like to also inform the committee that they should just take note that in terms of the forestry function, the concentration of the forestry function is in some of the provinces and limited in others. The committee can take note that the major aspects of forestry are in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and the Western Cape. And the other remaining four provinces concentrate mainly on community forestry. So having said that, the committee can take note of the key highlights of the program. In the past financial year, in terms of the resources that were allocated, we were able to achieve, but not entirely all that we had promised to achieve in terms of the business plan. The key highlights of the program are as follows. The committee can take note that we were able to go back to cabinet and request a recommissioning of plantation forestry in the Western Cape, and that was approved. The committee could take note that these areas were originally destined for exit and for conversion to other land uses.
Also in KwaZulu-Natal, we were able to obtain the approval of cabinet to formalize the in situ human settlement in the Tukutuku forest. The committee might be aware that for a number of years there were challenges for government in terms of people settling in a forest, which is a conservation area, but we tried to convince cabinet that taking people's needs and not compromising the conservation aspect of forest, it is still possible for people to settle in Tukutuku. We were also able to, in the last financial year, develop a long-term plan for the sector. We worked with the private sector and other institutions to agree on what is possible for forestry looking ahead up to the year 2030. The committee could also take note that we had made a commitment to improve the contribution of communities and other stakeholders to an annual program that we refer to as ABBA Week or ABBA Day, but it was broadened to encourage South Africans to see that planting of trees is important to deal with issues such as climate change and other recreational matters, and to that effect, we were able to achieve a target of 1.8 million trees. The trees were planted in conjunction with the other partners. When it comes to land reform challenges that were referred to by Mr. Balza, the committee can take note that we were at least able to finalize the claim that was put by the Kwambonambi community in KwaZulu-Natal. And because of the finalization, we will now be able to release the money that is due to the community. We were also internationally able to host a very successful conference in a workshop in Durban, where we brought together a number of countries, specifically from the African continent, to be able to discuss matters of forest governance. And this was able to put us on the map because the outcome of the workshop was presented in New York earlier this year. In terms of the actual commitment in the business plan, I will now present the performance information of the program. I would like to request the honorable members to concentrate on the last two columns of the slide. For the National Forestry Program, which is expected as a planning tool for us to be able to do our work, we were successful in developing the program, the National Forestry Program, with the support of the Food and Agricultural Organization, which is an international UN body. Due to their support, they also provided us with funds, and we were able to develop some strategies that would enable us to deal with issues of small, medium enterprise development and integrated forest protection. The committee could also take note that in terms of government's program of action, forestry is one of the key sectors that are identified for contributing to economic development, and it is captured in the National Industrial Policy Framework, and to that effect, issues of paper, pulp, furniture are quite critical. What we were able to achieve is limited in the sense that we still experience challenges regarding the issuing of water use licenses. In terms of funding, it is also a challenge because of limited resources, but we were able to build a partnership with the Industrial Development Corporation. Earlier on, Mr. Balza mentioned that we succeeded in signing the charter. That was done in May 2008, and currently the systems that are required, the institutional requirements to effect the implementation of the charter are in place. We've got a CEO, we've got a program manager, and we were able to agree with industry that they will jointly fund the business plan of the charter. To date, government will fund 60% and industry will pay for the 40% of the cost of managing the processes related to the charter. In order to deal with the challenges that we have with afforestation, we were able to work with the other government departments,
such as the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Land Affairs, and the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism to try and resolve a more, better, efficient way of ensuring that we can get general authorization in order to meet some of the requirements of the Charter. Because the Charter specifies very clearly that unless we are able to continue planting trees, we are going to put the industry at risk. The next slide also still covers issues related to the sector. The commitment that is there in the Charter from government and the partners is that on an annual basis to secure forestry as an industry, we should be planting at most 10,000 hectares. In the past financial year, we were only able to obtain licenses to plant only about 400 hectares. Honorable members will note that this is way below the set target, but there are circumstances that are related to the regulatory processes that made it difficult for us to succeed with this particular target. The next target relates to forestry enterprise development. We had set ourselves a target of making sure that at least in every province we do have a project going. The projects are such that we would want communities to be involved in the business of forestry in order to ensure that we create jobs. Unfortunately, we did not meet the target. We were only able to establish two projects in Mpumalanga, one in KwaZulu-Natal, one in the Northern Cape, and one in Gauteng province. Still continuing with issues of community participation in forestry, we had also set up a target of 18 forestry livelihood projects, and we were only able to achieve the establishment of about 5 projects in the Western Cape, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga. The other responsibility that we have as a program, as I indicated earlier on, is the responsibility related to the conservation of forests, and that we do in line with the provisions of the National Forest Act. What is expected from government is that on an annual basis, we need to confirm which trees should be protected by government and the members of the public. And to provide guidance, what we do, we draw up a list of what we refer to as champion trees to ensure their protection. We do have a national representative committee that advises government in doing this, so we were able to achieve this particular target. Also, in terms of the regulatory processes, we were expected to ensure that we do have regulations in place. The regulations were signed off by the minister and published in the government gazette. We also went on to ensure that in terms of the responsibility, we are making sure that there's compliance for the two acts that regulate forestry and associated activities. We did a study to recommend what would be a suitable model of ensuring enforcement, and this was done. Also, honorable members, in addition to having a responsibility of managing forestry plantations, we do sell timber to members of the public. The sale of the timber is on the basis of the tariffs that are set by the minister in consultation with National Treasury. And we do this on an annual basis. We were able to achieve this particular output. The committee could just take note that the tariffs that were approved for this financial year were not implemented because of the intervention of the minister. The intervention was such that we could be setting tariffs that may not necessarily allow the small sawmillers to effectively participate in the value chain of forestry as an industry. Therefore, we are still using the old tariffs. On an annual basis, when the CFO presents, it will indicate to you that we are able to raise revenue that could be about 50 million rands per year. So the tariffs are quite important in raising the revenue resource of government. other issues that we dealt with in the past financial year relate to our responsibility when it comes to managing fires. We are expected to have a system that would act as an early warning system. And because of the nature of the system, we are compelled to work with other institutions such as the South African Weather Services. Honorable members would have noted that when a weather forecast is being done, we are able to tell the South African public where is the danger rating for the day so that people should take care. That is part of the work that we do to make sure that there's a responsive system to enable us to know what is happening and be able to take the required precautionary measures. The other aspect of fire management is that we rely on the landowners to help government manage the risk of fire, and this is done by establishing fire protection associations, and the fire protection associations work with district municipalities because ideally what is expected is that there should be ways of means and managing to make sure the fire doesn't start. But once a fire has started, it is important that we have district municipalities that are able to respond. Overall, Mr. Balza mentioned that we do have a Working on Fire program, but currently the program does not cover the entire country. We therefore have to rely on district municipalities. The challenge that we have with the fire protection associations is that because it is on the basis of land ownership, it works where the landowners are resourced and have, can I just put it straight, have money. But in the areas that are more rural and people are not are disadvantaged, it becomes a challenge because they still require assistance from government. The other issue that we do in forestry is when we sell timber or manage planted forest, we are expected to follow international standards that ensure that the certification of the product. That is why we've got a national certification system that expects of us to comply by auditing and making sure that our plantations comply. The same applies to the private sector. In order to do this, we use what are called principles, criteria, indicators, and standards. And these are done such that we can be able to have a common norm for the private sector and government as well. I will skip the next slide. I have already talked about this. It is related to ABBA Week and the commitment to raise awareness amongst members of the public and also make sure that the schools participate in the program. The next slide, honorable members, refers to our responsibility in ensuring that we've got the capacity to manage, and it is related to skills development, which was indicated as a challenge. What we do on an annual basis, we make sure that the officials that are working at the call phase get an opportunity to attend courses such as the one that has to deal with the management of fire or how we collate information. We have given the numbers there. It is very clear that we did not meet the target as stipulated, and it's mainly because of lack of funding. The overall allocation of the forestry program is such that about 70% of the money goes to the payment of salaries. We can explain because there are historical aspects to it. We also offer basic education programs to the learners. I shouldn't say learners because it's actually staff members that are working for the department. It's just that when they enroll on the program, they are referred to as program. Again, honorable members could take note that we had set very high targets, but we were not able to achieve all the targets. Chairperson, the next slide refers to the compliance with the charter and measures of capacity building and the relationship that we have with the tertiary institutions. And I'm sure when corporate services present, they will be able to highlight what is the role of the Learning Academy and how much it does contribute to skills development. Chairperson, in future, the program will still more or less carry on with the work as expected. We are now at a point where the priorities of the program are aligned to the medium-term strategic framework of government. As you can see, the highlighted areas of strategic priority are in line with the expectation. We will still carry on making sure that there's sustainable resource management and use. We will still ensure that the capacity of the sector is maintained in terms of the skills and the human resource base. And we will still ensure that the work that we do contributes to the economy and ensures the creation of decent work. We are also expected to contribute to Africa's advancement and enhancement of international cooperation. And lastly, Chairperson, we will contribute to what has been outlined as a comprehensive rural development strategy, which is linked to agrarian reform. I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Antich. I think we will take another presentation.
Ambassador, are you ready?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. As I did indicate earlier on when I introduced myself, I'm responsible for the nine regions. It's actually the provinces in the country, but we refer to them as regions. My presentation is in line with colleagues. I will look at the highlights, future performance, and the challenges, and share with the committee the challenges that we are encountering. Working with local government and in the sector.
Honourable Member, are we on par with the document?
Okay, fine.
Chair, we usually struggle with the acronyms. I have made a list. I have made a list of acronyms that members can refer to during the course of my presentation. The key highlights, Chair, last year in recognition of the challenges that are facing local government in delivering services, executing their mandate, which is provision of water and sanitation services, we had a municipal endeavor that was meant to really find solutions, both the department and local government, in seeing how we can deal with those challenges. We had Chair, after introspection, we had to look at the approach and the policy shift that the department needs to take. You will recall that initially the department was responsible for the actual delivery of water and sanitation services. However, when we had a democratic system of local government in place, municipalities were charged with that responsibility. Now, the transition from the from the role of the department used to play to what it needs to play currently, which is the regulation of the sector, has not been an easy one. So those are the kind of the challenges that we are currently dealing with. I think we all aware of the challenges facing any country that's going through economic development. The stress on the resources and water is not excluded from such pressure. In response to this, we have developed a Water for Growth and Development framework, which my colleague will be talking to, which is basically a framework that's really meant to ensure that every department, we ensure water security in the country, that we don't run out of water, that we make water available to support economic growth and to look after the social needs of the country. When it comes to compliance, monitoring, and enforcement, and if I can just give a little bit of background, we've been having problems of pollution of our water resources by industries, by mines, basically by all water users. but we've also had incidents of water being stolen in simple terms. So it is for this reason that we have, as a department, we have prioritized strengthening our compliance and monitoring function. And I must say, Chair, even though some progress has been made in this regard, looking at the challenge at hand, we're not where we're supposed to be. However, last year we had a very successful Blitz Week that was meant to raise awareness, but that was also meant to send a message to the public that as a department and as a custodian of the water resource, we will be dealing harshly with people who misuse our water. We have also done first-order assessment on the state of wastewater infrastructure and treatment plants. Members I'm sure members are familiar with the challenges relating to the state of infrastructure at local government level, challenges that lead to pollution of resources where, we have water quality problems that lead to people getting sick, cases of cholera, etc. This matter is of serious concern to the department, and to that effect, we have done the assessment of the state of this infrastructure throughout the country. This will lead to the development of an implementation plan that seeks to address at a national level the challenges that municipalities are encountering in managing their infrastructure. I'll try and move quickly. Ensuring that we maintain good drinking water quality at local government is a priority of the department. And I've just talked to incidents of cholera, incidents of people and babies getting sick. There has been a lot of progress in this regard. We have seen an increased reporting. However, there are still areas in the country where this is a challenge, especially in the rural areas. In the Eastern Cape, in district municipalities like Ukahlamba, Krisani, those are the areas where we're still experiencing challenges. We've also introduced a blue and green drop certification, which is really meant to be a regulation that's incentivized to encourage municipalities to manage their water. Okay. I'll quickly go through the performance indicators against the targets. As we know that we're working towards meeting of the Millennium Development Goals, as a country, we have met the MDGs in the sense that already half of our population have received water and sanitation services. However, we're now working towards universal access. We have identified that lack of bulk infrastructure is one of the challenges facing municipalities, and it is for this reason that the department initiated the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Program that's meant to look at implementing mainly bulk projects. And this is really a program that's meant to support local government in their delivery. As you can see, 32 projects have been implemented, and I need to say, even though the number looks small, we're really looking at big projects that are implemented over 2, 3, 4 year period because of the size of the project and the funding that's required. So even though the figures look low, but if you look at the size of the projects themselves, they've had a positive impact. Water and sanitation services to schools. Members may ask, what is it that we have to do as a department with providing water and sanitation to schools? This is the responsibility of the Department of Education and the Department of Health. However, they have up to now been experiencing problems with providing these services, and the department took the initiative of driving the program. To date, we have provided 1,376 schools with water and sanitation, and the figures are provided there. Chair, according to the information that we had, and looking at the number of clinics that did not have these services, our stats tell us that in as far as rural clinics are concerned, we have met the target. All rural clinics in the country have been provided with water and sanitation. However, it has been brought to our attention that there are still clinics that don't have the services, and that is what the relevant departments are working on at the moment. We're still battling with the provision of water to schools, and water and sanitation to schools, and the target date that we're looking at is 2010, and that is the progress that has been made to date. The other output, water sector support, and this speaks to provision of capacity, skills, and local government level. Our responsibility in ensuring that we as a country meet the MDGs is to support local government, and we have come up with innovative interventions. We have looked at seconding engineers to municipalities. We have helped them with planning capacity, with funding, and it is for this reason that we, up to now, we're thinking, there's a thinking currently in the department that says, to what extent do we continue to provide the support, given that we also have a responsibility to regulate municipalities, to ensure that municipalities that are not doing, providing the service in the manner that's required, do so. That is now what Trevor referred to, balancing the act between the support and the regulation, and to date it has been a very difficult situation. Made difficult by the fact that if anything goes wrong at local government and it's related to water, our minister is expected to provide or intervene. But the reality is we do not really have the funding. The funding is at local government level, provided through the MIG program. However, we still take this function seriously. We believe that the success of local government depends on the ability of us as a sector department, as a national department, to provide the relevant support. It is for this reason then that we're reporting, for instance, the support plans that we've provided to municipalities. There are many other interventions that I can speak to. Some are specifically structured to address the unique challenges facing each municipality. Drinking water quality, I've talked about this in my highlights. I will not really repeat except to say we're still concerned, especially now that we're going towards 2010. This is one area where we're saying by 2010 and beyond, of course, we need to have 100% improvement when it comes to drinking water quality. But if out of 53% of municipalities are showing improved service. However, if you look at the first figure, it speaks to the percentage of municipalities in the country where sampling has been completed and where we have seen compliance. But I must say, Chair, compliance varies from time to time. Even with well-established municipalities like Cape Town, for instance, there would be incidents where there is failure with regards to the set standards. And the good thing is that such municipalities are able to put mechanisms in place to address them. However, this is one of the key indicators that we're monitoring as a department very closely. Sector collaboration. Chair, without effective intergovernmental relations as a department, we wouldn't have achieved what we have achieved. We place a lot of importance to ensuring that we work closely with municipalities, with the province, and with other national departments. We have looked at creative ways of institutionalizing sector collaboration, and we've invested a lot into this because we see it as an enabler to service delivery. We have various structures, the Water Service Leadership Group, which is a group that involves government departments, the private sector, organizations like ESCOM and all other strategic water users, where we sit and deliberate on the challenges facing water and look for solutions that can take us as the water sector forward. Yes, provincially as well, we have well-functioning structures, and currently we're looking at strengthening these provincial fora so that they not only look at water services, but they also look at water resources. And because the provincial growth and development strategy of the provinces depend on availability of water, we are looking at a situation where the Premier's office actually plays a very prominent role in providing strategic guidance to these fora. Water services regulatory support. The regulatory strategy of the department is currently, it's the water services part is at its final stages. We're still struggling with the water resources. However, there is work that has been done in terms of implementation when it comes to water services regulation. This is proving, as we sat in chair, and I need to share with the committee, this is really proving to be a challenge, regulating the water sector. If you look at our role as a department, where we expected to support, where we do understand that there's really no capacity in certain municipalities, but also looking at other dynamics that are playing at a local government level, the politics and how we need to tread carefully sometimes when we want to play our regulatory role. So we're really learning interesting lessons when it comes to the water services regulatory function. And I think these lessons will inform us whether we decide to have this function within the department, which is the current thinking, or that it should be independent, as the case is with the energy sector. We are in the process of establishing an enforcement unit. It has been established, but it's still weak. We have just recently put some mechanisms in place to build its capacity. In terms of compliance, I did talk about incidents of pollution or non-compliance generally. We have up-to-date issued, and this is just a summary, 231 notices of intent to issue directive, and 27 directives have been issued. And here we're really looking at the agricultural sector, transgressors in the agricultural sector, in the industries, mining. We know the concerns that the country has regarding mining activities in Mpumalanga, and also mining activities that have affected the environment in parts of Gauteng. We also do issue directives, despite the popular belief that we don't act against government. We actually do act against municipalities, and there are cases where we've actually taken municipalities to task in cases of non-compliance. HIV and AIDS, we seek to make sure that in whatever we're doing, given the importance of water in health issues, we have, through the donor funding program, developed pilot projects, a very good pilot project in Orange Farm that is targeting people who are affected. And this was really to illustrate the importance of water and the role that water can play in economic development. If funding was available, there's no doubt that this is one of the programs that we would duplicate in throughout the country. We also have a responsibility to work with the CSOs, given their role in service delivery. We have put in place measures to not only to involve them in our programs, but to empower them, as you know that most of them are experiencing capacity challenges. When it comes to the real figures, in the last financial year, Chair, Honourable Members, 494,000 people were served. The target was 494. However, the target was exceeded. Now, when one looks at the figures, and I know especially of this committee that's really involved in the regions, when one looks at the figures that we present here, and you go home in your own provinces, you still see the number of people that don't have water, that are still using the same resource with animals. It is unbelievable. There are a number of factors at hand. The sustainability of the infrastructure itself is a challenge. Even though we're saying this year we have provided water, municipalities have provided water to so many people, the fact of the matter is because of inability of local government to manage the infrastructure, there are people who are actually falling out of that figure, who, even though they had water, they no longer have water. That is the progress that we've made in sanitation and the progress in the bucket eradication program. Chair, we are not so proud to say that we still have not concluded the bucket eradication program. One province that's remaining is the Free State province, where major infrastructure challenges are still being experienced. And this is now relating to the availability of water resource and the infrastructure related to that. When it comes to the transfer of schemes, we have transferred, we are now just about to conclude the transfer program. However, Cabinet did raise concern about the big schemes that we are transferring to municipalities, and there were two major schemes that with a value of more than 100 million that Cabinet expressed concern about, and they actually, the comments made by Cabinet made us to think about the measures that we need to put in place as a department to ensure the sustainability of transferred infrastructure. There were compliance issues that we were experiencing as a department, as a transferring organization to local government. And in as far as that is concerned, because of the measures we have put in place, there has been an improvement. There's also refurbishment of some of these schemes, and that is the progress that we can report on in as far as refurbishment is concerned. Ensuring sustainable and equitable water resource management. This speaks basically to the activities that we need to undertake to ensure that we have clean rivers, and this speaks to one of the programs that CISO will be reporting, Dr. Mkhize will be reporting on. Under this, we also have the Working for Water program, which is one of the flagship programs in the department, not only because it ensures that we conserve water by removing alien species, but it has a wonderful potential of creating jobs and actually making a dent in the poverty profile in our rural areas. Universal access, 100% of municipalities, as we're working with them, providing them with information that assists them with planning. And the overall objective, Chair, is to make sure that municipalities do deliver on their mandate. And 85% of these have been covered. I've talked about bulk infrastructure, the readiness in terms of 20 projects that have been completed, 15 and 11 that are to be completed in this financial year. Okay. When it comes to transformation, currently in the department, if you look at the nature of our business, it involves infrastructure development, and we are looking at creative ways of really creating jobs in the process of providing infrastructure. The trick, of course, will be to also work with local government to make sure that when they deliver on water, when they build infrastructure, they use labor-intensive methods that will create jobs. However, in areas where we are in charge, where we have the money and we are building the infrastructure, there's still a lot of work that we need to do to make sure that we create jobs. These are the figures from our Working for Water program, where we target, where there's a conscious attempt to target women, youth, and the disabled, and those are the figures. Challenges, the water and sanitation program, we worried about meeting the target, whether we will be able to meet the school's target, which is 2010, because of the various problems that we encountered. There are solutions that we are looking at. I will not go through them. The bucket eradication program, I've talked to this, mainly referring to the Free State province, and as we're working with the province to make sure that the eradication of the bucket system is finalized in that province. The transfers program, I've talked to this as well. This is really just a summary. We're looking at intensifying the refurbishment, but not only focusing on the schemes that we have transferred, but just looking at all the infrastructure that has been built in the country. That will be the end. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Mbasa. I don't know, honorable members, are still fine? Can we proceed?
Yes, we're still on track,
Can we still proceed?
Yeah, we can proceed.
Okay, thank you. For the next presentation?
Will be?
I think I'll allow Dr. Mkiza to proceed.
Dr. Mkiza should be allowed to proceed with this presentation. Policy and regulation.
Madam Chair, I'll...
I don't know whether, I don't know whether we are still having the time of 12 o'clock to be in the plenary. I was just saying that if we are not sure, somebody can just go and check up. 12 o'clock, I heard that it is, Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, honorable members, I'll take you through policy and regulation part of the report. I'll be talking to the performance during the end question, as well as the linkages of what we want to do going into the future with government aims. During that period, we produced four feasibility and pre-feasibility studies. This is basically the type of studies that we have to do to ensure that there is sufficient water for the population, for the industry, as well as other demands in a specific area. For instance, for Gauteng, we did reconciliation strategies for Durban, for Cape Town, as well as Nelson Mandela Bay region, the Port Elizabeth region. And we have to do that on a continuous basis so that if the water demand increases, we also have plans to respond to that demand. We've also been able to develop a discussion paper on climate change during the period, which will enable us to respond to the impacts of climate change as a country so that whatever impacts that has, we can absorb that impact. We started to revise the National Water Resources Strategy. However, we then focused on the Water for Growth and Development Framework, which was approved by Cabinet Lekgotla for consultation in January this year. Uh, on the water allocation reform, which is basically a program that aims at bringing about equity, we managed to reduce the time it takes the department to produce a license from whatever period to a 12-month period, which was quite an achievement given the challenges that come with that program. And we've also been able to prioritize some areas for water allocation, particularly to historically disadvantaged individuals. During that year, we anticipated to process about 80 water use licenses. We managed to process over 100 water use licenses. And we have a budget for resource-poor farmers, and we had wanted to spend all that money on resource-poor farmers. However, we then prioritized the anti-poverty program of government, which was driven by the deputy president at the time, and that's where we ended up investing all our money, which was aimed at assisting resource-poor farmers. However, that was a good thing to do because all of a sudden you had community members actually benefiting from that initiative. In terms of water use efficiency, let me give a bit of background first. South Africa is not a wet country, if one can put it that way. We are such a dry country that we have to conserve every drop of rain that we receive. And we managed to initiate programs such as WaterWise Campaign, which aims at informing South Africans to conserve water. And we also, as a result of that initiative, we started to give awards to those people who indeed went ahead and implemented the water conservation, water demand management program. And we also participated jointly with SANParks on a number of national parks on this program to conserve water in those areas, because that's where the shortage for water services is. So those people had to conserve water and to harvest as much rainfall as possible. We also engaged municipalities. Out of 28 municipalities that we had wanted to involve on that program, we managed to engage 27 municipalities. Municipalities and schools got involved in that program. And we also continue to monitor water resources quality. Most of our rivers, some of our rivers are polluted, and on a continuous basis we have to monitor the water quality on those rivers, and we do that on a continuous basis. We've produced reports, and to sort of capture everything that we do and to indicate the ideal situation, we had to develop a water for growth and development framework, which will talk to physical shortage of water, scarcity of water in terms of quality, and in terms of location. And I must say, we are busy consulting on the water for growth and development framework with South Africans, with the public at large, and we are getting some good input. This process will lead us to setting targets. What is it that we want to achieve when, in terms of water conservation, in terms of quality issues, and in terms of other aspects of water. We also have to manage and provide oversight on water management institutions such as water boards and catchment management areas. And during the time in question, all the water boards, or let me say all the water management institutions, submitted their business plans as well as quarterly reports to Parliament, which is what they have to do on a continuous basis. And they also submitted their financial financial statements to Parliament, which is per legislation. We are also involved in international engagements. This one is critical for South Africa because most of our rivers do not originate, or our big rivers do not originate in South Africa. So we have to ensure that good relations exist between South Africa and neighboring states. You will recall that most of the water that is used in Gauteng comes from Lesotho, and we have to make sure that we keep that relationship warm on a continuous basis. And most of the water that we don't use in South Africa goes to other countries such as Namibia, Mozambique, and Swaziland. And as a result, we have signed the Memorandum of Understanding with all the countries that are our neighbors, and already we are implementing those agreement documents as per what we agree upon in terms of implementation. Madam Chair, I thought I won't be taking you through this because it will be a repetition, but this is what we want to do going into the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mkiza. I think we must get to the another one.
Yeah, can we go to the finance one that was
okay.
Terminated?
Okay.
I had indicated the Honorable Members, Chair, that we ran four programs for the year under review, and in terms of expenditure, which is cash-based, comparing what was allocated by Parliament and what we spent, you'll notice that administration, forestry, and water services more or less spend 100% of the allocation. Underwater services, the under expenditure of about $5 million was as a result of delays in the invoice that were not submitted, so we didn't disperse that money in good time. Water resource management, in that case, that's where we disperse. That's the program that manages the bulk water infrastructure. Now, there was about approximately $505 million that was not disbursed in that year, for a number of reasons, which I will allude to later on. From a point of view of economic classification, the current payments allocation, we spend 100% of what we were, slightly more than 100% of what we allocated. By transfers and subsidies, we spend 86%, and on our capital assets, we spend 98.5%. In overall, the department stood at 92.8%. Of the total allocation which was disbursed in that year. The 7.2% that was not spent in that year is as a result of the infrastructure program where we did not utilize the money 100% as required. If we compare year by year, if we look at the previous financial year with the current financial year, you will have that trend shown to you in slide number 5. Where we are saying that in 2007 and 8, we spent 92% of the budget. We slightly improved that to 92.8% in the year 2008 and 9, if we look at by way of programs. Once again, just like in the previous financial year, the program on water resource management, and that's where the infrastructure development takes place, was the key contributor to the under expenditure in question. On slide number 6, Honorable Members, you will find that there's also a comparison year by year. Those are the trends you'll pick. By way of classification, you'll find that on the recurrent, on transfers and subsidies, that's where the under expenditure is. And indeed, those transfers and subsidies are transfers to developing new infrastructure, and that's where there was slow spending in both years. Now, the consultants, of course, we do rely on consultants and contractors to carry out part of our work. And you'll notice that there was a slight movement, business and advisory services. there was an increase of 33%, but in infrastructure planning, the amount came down by 24%. When you come to contractors, there was an increase, not 3.8, but there was an increase in that particular amount. The reason being that that's where we capture this working for water program. It's completely outsourced in that case, and that's why you have that particular high increase. In overall, for the department, we are talking about an overall increase in the expenditure on consultants of 27%. But once again, it's because contractors who are useless in the Working for Water program are covered under this particular element of our finances. Now, the reason for increase, obviously, is due to additional funds granted for the backlog in sanitation, but also Working for Fire and Working for Water, which are mainly outsourced programs in this case. Now, the nature of those particular programs is such that you will not necessarily rely on 100% of full-time employees. Now, the measures being put in place to ensure that where we can avoid as far as possible to rely on consultants, we have embarked on an aggressive campaign to ensure that vacancies that are existing are filled, linking, of course, PSP appointments to new appointments, to new appointment of staff, and, of course, limitations on any variation of existing contracts. And, of course, there was a reference, and there will be a reference to the Learning Academy, where we use targeted internship program to ensure that skills are being developed in the sector. If you look at the annual report on the appropriation statement in particular, you'll find that what we talk about as current payment, honorable members, refers to what we pay to our employees, what we spend on goods and services, including rental of premises, concerns that I've talked about, and you'll find elements on financial transactions. Under transfers and subsidies, honorable members, again, of what I've referred to, we are talking about amounts we handle for the benefit of another sphere of government or for other departmental agencies or entities. On this one, for example, we have the water trading entity within the administration of the department. So the money that goes there to develop infrastructure and all that is handled as part of the transfers and subsidies. Regional bulk that my colleague alluded to for development of bulk infrastructure in the local government sphere is another form of capital transfer, which is handled through capital transfers and payments. So when you see those figures as transfers and subsidies, please bear in mind that these are the elements that form that particular total that you'll see in the annual report. Payment for goods, generally this will be payment for capital items, for assets that we use within the department, and not assets developed for the benefit of another sphere of government. So it will be equipment, it will be new software or machinery we acquire, or fittings we make in the buildings that we occupy in the relevant year. Those are the amounts that you'll find are covered under capital asset payments. Now, the reason for their expenditure that I've alluded to, it's because of the Olifant River Water Resource Project, otherwise known as the Hoop Dam. The disbursements of this project could not proceed as anticipated due to delays in the negotiation with the 23 mining houses. I may want to elaborate on this one a bit in the sense that when we implement bulk infrastructure of that nature, like the ones in the Limpopo province where this particular dam is, there is a certain element that need to be funded by through commercial fundraising by our entity known as the Transcaledonian Tunnel Authority. Now, it requires that the commercial water users, and in this case here are the mining houses in the Limpopo province, would then need to sign the certain off-take agreements, meaning that they will be taking water from the dam after it has been built. Now, for obvious reasons, not really for obvious reasons, for the recession that has become evident and the plummeting prices of the commodities that these mining houses are involved with, they became reluctant to sign those particular mining those particular off-take agreements. In which case, therefore, the money that was meant to be spent alongside what would have been borrowed from the open market by the Trans-Caledonian Tunnel Authority that manages that project had to be put on the hold and it had to be delayed. The other contributing factor is the delay where even work had been done. Obviously, by the end of the financial year, we need to certify the work that has been done before the actual disbursement can be done. Now, so for the work done in March, for example, which is the end of the financial year, will obviously be paid in April. So by the end of 31st of March, the invoices for the work done in March will not have been paid by 31st. So you will see it that will be the under expenditure contributed in this case. Next slide. We also handle donor money, and this mainly for the community water supply and sanitation. The bulk of that money is from the EU. It's to support the implementation of water and sanitation infrastructure projects. It doesn't lead to acquisition of the actual infrastructure, but support in form of preparing the plans and doing other things that can ensure that the projects are delivered. Local government capacity building and knowledge sharing, sector collaboration issues comes in, and the financial management improvement for the water sector. Those are areas where the donor money goes. We don't use the donor money to acquire, let's say, to build a dam or to refurbish a dam, but maybe to prepare a plan or to support the sector in order for them to do their work. So there's no donor money that you will say to acquire, let's say, a pipe to be laid down, but it will be spent, money will be then be spent on technical assistance that will go into formulating a plan in order to ensure that pipeline is laid. That's what the money is used for. For the year under review, there are those particular amounts that were received, which are shown as revenue. Those are the funds that were received in that particular year, and we had to use it. Now, there are cases whereby this money delays to come in. When you see the figures that are in brackets there, it shows that by the time we closed the year, that money hadn't come in yet. Well, now, you can ask, now, where did the money come from? We get that bridging finance from the exchequer funding because there's no, the timing of the money coming in and the time we disperse, it doesn't necessarily synchronize. So we end up using some of the exchequer money before the donor money comes in, and it's something that we manage with the National Treasury within the donor assistance guidelines. Now, transfers and subsidies, what has been achieved? The allocated budget was transferred. There were no under expenditure, especially on what you call DORA Schedule 7 allocations. All municipalities had approved plans and addendums, especially for the operating subsidy, which is to do with the transfer of the money to the municipalities. And we managed to transfer substantially the stuff that were meant to be transferred in the year under review. The challenges, obviously, there are certain staff, because they are involving people issues, we have to negotiate with the municipalities and the staff that are being transferred. So we will always keep on delays, having those particular delays from time to time. Some of the municipalities, obviously, may not be keen to report on the funds in good time, but those are issues that we have we engage with them in order to resolve them as the case may be. The other thing is that the budget allocated for the operating subsidy, which includes the refurbishment of the assets that are being transferred, and etc., the allocated budget so far, it's not adequate. So, but these are matters we are reviewing from time to time as we go into the future and as we transfer the assets in question. The other thing that you'll find under transfers and subsidies, which I've elaborated on, for those of you who are familiar with Mpumalanga, the neighboring country, there's an organization known as COBWA. COBWA stands for Komati Basin Water Authority. It's a joint venture between South Africa and Swaziland. COBWA is the one that legally owns the Dry Kopis Dam on the border of Mpumalanga and Swaziland. And they also own a dam known as Maguga Dam, right in the interior of Swaziland. Now, sometimes back, when those dams were being built, COBWA incurred a liability or raised funds by way of a loan to build those particular dams. The South African government, being party to that particular agreement, has to service that particular loan. And therefore, included in our subsidies in the year under review there's a figure of 180 million that goes specifically for that particular purpose. So you may need, of course, when you talk about service, so it's not only the construction that we are doing right now, but also servicing the indebtedness that the state incurred previously has to contribute to those subsidies. Now, why do we call it subsidy? It's because that asset, we're not the ones managing it. It's another entity managing it, and therefore it will be seen as a transfer payment or a subsidy to the operations of those particular dams. Because COBO itself does not generate revenue of its own, it relies on this particular contribution from the two governments in order to sustain itself and to manage those particular water resource infrastructure in that part of the world. Now, this leads me there, having highlighted what is subsidies and where we spend our money and how we spend, the auditor finally had to come and audit our financial statements, which I include in the annual report. But allow me, Chair, to share with you a bit of history around this audit outcome of the previous financial years. 2005 and 6, it was a case of a qualification, meaning that there were issues, the auditors were not happy, and that qualification was on the basis of the asset management. I'm on slide number 19, Chair. The completeness and accuracy of those particular assets could not be assured by the auditors, and therefore they ended up giving what you call a qualified audit opinion. In 2006 and 2007, the same thing occurred. The financial management improvement plan that had been put in place soon after 2006 and 2007 had not yielded the required fruits, and therefore there was also a qualification on the basis of the assets that were disclosed in the financial statements in that year. The 2007 and 2008, again, a qualification was there as a result of the tangible capital assets, where no assurance could be given to the auditors regarding the completeness, existence, and valuation of assets. During that particular period, the honorable members may want to note that the bulk infrastructure we own, we have 240 schemes and dams scattered all over the country. We were busy verifying and valuing those particular schemes in order to comply with the reporting standards that the auditor needed us to comply with. For the water trading entity, which is another entity within the administration of the department, this was also the audit outcome. Things were not good. In 2005 and 2006, there was a disclaimer, but that one we then improved on it in 2006 and 2007, whereby we only received a qualified audit opinion. And the same thing on 2007 and 2008, there was a qualified audit opinion because of the data, the revenue we manage. That revenue is the revenue paid by the water users that use, that abstract water from the dams like the Vaal River and other dams that we have. We collect some money from them. So the data balances could not be verified, could not be substituted in that year, and therefore we ended up with a qualification on that basis. Therefore, in the 2008, we had made, therefore, said the previous past cannot continue handling us in the way it is or the way it had been. We needed to show improvement based on the investment we had done in those particular projects. If you look on page 254 through to page 255 of the annual report, you will pick up that there are various projects the department undertook in order to come up with this unqualified audit opinion, and which showed that the auditors were relatively happy with the way our finances were being handled and the way they were being reported to the external users of those particular financial statements. But however, despite that, there are certain key highlights. The auditors have highlighted in their report whereby in the case of main account, the financial statements were subjected to material. They felt they needed the reader or the use of financial statements to understand and know that we did some adjustment in the financial statements resulting from the audit process. But that's something, of course, which we are working on going forward to avoid that in future. The internal audit function also, which was understaffed under the year under review, did not fulfill its mandate, and that's a governance issue which we feel that we need to keep it on the radar in order to ensure that that one is being attended to as we go forward. There were also significant deficiencies in the design and implementation of the internal control with respect to the various regulations which the auditors picked up in the process, but which once again is a governance matter, not affecting the accounting numbers, but which management would, the auditors felt that the management need to keep their hands on those issues going forward. For the water trading entity, and that's where this entity, I will repeat this for the honorable members, this entity where the bulk water infrastructure we own in the country, it's all being managed under this particular water trading. It's within the administration. We have separated from the voted funds. Even the revenue that we generate from that is being accounted for under this particular water trading entity. So the issues that were highlighted were around the review of the data age analysis, questions around the measures around suspense accounts, and then there was also the issue that there was a restatement of prior financial statements for an error that was discovered during the audit of 2008 and 9 financial year. And there have also been questions around lack of a distinct strategic plan for the water trading entity, which needs to have a separate strategic plan going forward. Those were the highlights against that. But in brief, this is the revenue you will, that was reported for the financial year in question. And out of that revenue, there's the amount coming in that goes to service the debts that have been raised previously by the Trans-Caledonian Tunnel Authority to build some of the dams and some of the infrastructure we have in this country. And that revenue is about $2.6 billion out of the revenue we have indicated for the water trading entity, that will be the revenue that you'll be seeing. But when you come to the main account, which is voted funds, and that's what you have before you, we had a total allocation of $7.5 billion. Out of that, obviously, $6.9 was utilized, and there was a surplus of $613, and that's where the under expenditure I've alluded to came in. I don't think I'll want to dwell much on the revenue analysis. I think we'll go on the next slide. The expenditure analysis, you will pick up something to do with the compensation of employees. It's not growing as fast as it should. Given that the inflation was higher than 7%, one would have expected the compensation of employees should have been higher. It won't be the case because we are transferring staff to the municipalities. That will not be the case. So you won't see a climb in those figures. But in good circumstances, you'll see an increase because of the inflation and the amount spent under Working for Water and Working for Fire programs. Besides that, also, there will be an increase in some of the expenditure due to the support that we enjoy from the donor projects. That's where you'll see an increase taking place. The deficit that I've already explained that there was an expenditure because of the Dehoop Dam project, which we didn't spend the money as required, and I've explained the reasons for that, and then there was unspent funds in respect of financial assistance from some of the donor communities, which there was not spent in the year in question. The assets, I think I'll not go into that. Those are the assets. I will not go ahead and explain that. Let's go to the next slide. The departmental assets, generally, when you talk of departmental assets, given the model we use of cash-based accounting, it will be in relation to acquisition of machinery, and there will be questions around the cash and cash equivalent, which is managed through the Reserve Bank. But besides that, there are loans that were given previously to the irrigation boards, which we are collecting money over time. There are some assets that were built for the irrigation boards, the canals and all that, but which are being redeemed over time. Those are items that will appear as assets on our balance sheet. I think leave that one out. You don't need to. So from the point of view, I think members, when you are reviewing that, you need to pick up that there was cash flow from the operating activity, and that's the cash flow you'll see there was a change between those particular 2 years. And, of course, it just means that by having those particular decrease, it means that we used more money than what was generated in those particular areas when you compare with the previous financial year. So in terms of cash and cash equivalent, for example, we didn't hold a lot of money at the end of the period. That one declined. And when it comes to cash flow from the investing activities, obviously the amount also declined because we didn't invest much into the infrastructure. That's why you have a decline of 89 or 90% because we didn't invest much in the infrastructure, as the case may be. Next slide. Now, the water trading entity that I've alluded to, The revenue you see there excludes the revenue that we handle on the behalf of TCTA, which for the year under review for TCTA it was about $2.6 billion. So the revenue that you see here is the revenue that is attributable to the operation of this entity. So once we collect that $1.5 billion, and the increase is mainly attributable to the adjustment in the tariffs. Then we have, of course, expenses which we need to take care of in terms of the maintenance, refurbishment, and salaries that we deal with there. The deficit you see on this account is because of the depreciation on the close to $63 billion of infrastructure assets that we have. That's a non-cash item that we have to provide for under this particular water trading entity, and it shows you that the current pricing strategy does not cover the recovery of the depreciation we have. And why is that the case? We didn't know the figures then, and that's why we have the disclaimers and the qualification that we have talked about. But now that we know them and we know what the numbers are speaking about, there is a move to review that particular pricing strategy to ensure that all our costs are recovered. I think I've explained the increase. Let's go to the next slide. Next slide. Now, the increase in the revenue, obviously, and that expense resulted in the overall increase of 3.2. But then the deficit, remember, the deficit is as a result of the depreciation that I've just mentioned. Next slide. In terms of financial performance, one attribute that I would like you to draw your attention is the question of the trade and other receivables, whereby it increased from $1.5 billion to $2.1 billion, and that is a sluggish collection, and that sluggish collection was as a result of our attempt to verify all our data and agree on our balances before moving forward. So there was slow collection during 2008 and 9, but that's something that we are trying to attend to. As a result of the slow collection, there is an amount shown in trade and debtors, trade and other payables, under that $1.4 billion or almost. That amount includes the money we collect on the behalf of TCTA. So that amount is shown as a payable there, and it's because it hadn't been collected for it to be paid over to TCTA, and that's why the trade and other payables have increased by 142%. The statement of financial position, obviously, have been affected by the refinement of the infrastructure assets, which we, as I've indicated to you, and they'll be covered somewhere in one of the presentations, if time allows us, whereby we had to know the condition of our infrastructure wherever they are located in the country. And as a result of those refinement and valuation exercise, our balance sheet, therefore, had to be adjusted with the $4.9 billion that I've referred to. With the receivables, 41%, I've already told you that we had to go through a process of confirmation of those balances with individual water users before we could move forward, and that's why we didn't collect the money because of that particular confirmation process, which led to an increase in debtors of 41%. Next slide. Now, this comes to the financial position. Obviously, if you're not collecting your money in time, your end-of-year cash balances will be negative. And that's what is being reflected here, Madam Chair. You will notice that there is a deficit of 178 net cash flow at the end of the financial year for 2009. And for the previous financial year, it was 249. And that's attributable to that sluggish collection from our water users. The other attributable factor is the question of the decrease in the profitability, and those decrease in the profitability is because the pricing strategy we are using to charge the water users does not cover fully our cost level. It doesn't enable us to recover all our costs. But this is the only message we could have got after verifying what the condition of assets are and relating them to what we are charging the water users. Now, on the issues of committee, we have a committee that functioned well in the year, and I think they have even their report included in our annual report. The members were the ones as shown there. Mr. Boyd resigned as the chairperson, and that position was taken over by Ms. Thomas, who was appointed as the chairperson towards the end of the financial year. So it has a full required statutory required numbers, and they do meet regularly. Like in this calendar year, their last meeting is on the 27th of November. They meet regularly, and they give inputs into our response to the various audit queries we have received in the previous financial years. Obviously, the committee focuses on the issues around risk management, internal control. As a result of the input, we have already established a risk management unit in the department, so they contribute in all those areas of internal control and risk management as they occur from time to time. They have provided the evaluation of the financial statement, but besides that, the internal audit plan is not just approved by the accounting officer, it's approved by this particular committee, and then implemented by the chief director, who then reports to the accounting officer during the year. So they have provided their financial, the evaluation of the financial statement, and having been with us throughout that particular year, they agreed with the Auditor General what the findings were, and we agreed with them that we needed to have a debriefing session with the Auditor General, which we have already had on the 27th of October, and on the basis of those particular debriefing exercises with the Auditor General, we have come up with an action plan to respond to the issues that I've highlighted in the audit report of 2008 and 2009. That's my story, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Ayaya. I don't know. I'm looking at the time. We've got about three presentations that need to be, and I think I'll give the department 30 minutes from now to present those three judgments. Yes, Honorable.
Did you get the correct time of the plenary, Madam
Chair? Yes.
2 o'clock. Yeah, I think you still can push your left a full hour.
Yes, but I think at 1:30, because we've got another two of our things that we must do to adopt the minutes and the strategic plan. So at least I'm giving the department up to 12:30 to finish their business.
Yes.
We have three, maybe with the time restriction, given that our mandate is on infrastructure and the delivery of that infrastructure, I would allow the presentation on infrastructure to go ahead. And I think I don't know whether you have read the slides on corporate services. I'm not sure whether you want anything from corporate services. For finance, I would rather say that we make it stay over. But the key presentation that I would like members to engage with, because I've kept on so talking about infrastructure, and with the oversight role, it's my interpretation that you need to hear more about the infrastructure rather than hearing what I'm doing in my branch as a CFO or what corporate services is doing. I think that's what I will go for, Madam Chair, with your permission.
So I would
therefore, I don't know, Dr. Mkize, whether you have the mandate from Dr. Ritos to proceed. Then over to you.
Madam Chair, Honorable Members, I'm going to present on behalf of my colleague, Dr. Cornelius Reuters, who is responsible for our branch infrastructure in the department. The presentation will indicate the highlights, the performance against targets during the period, and I'll also touch on future performance. I won't be going through the entire presentation, Madam, because of time. The department has been involved in quite a number of infrastructure projects. The first one is Inyaga Water Treatment Works, which we think is the highlight, whereby we actually commissioned that project in September 2008. And the project is aimed at making water available to the communities in some parts of the country, particularly in Mpumalanga, and possibly parts of Limpopo. We also have another project which we call FRESAP project, which is a Vaal River Eastern Subsystem Augmentation Project. This is the project that involves Sasol and Eskom, whereby water is pumped from the Vaal River towards the east. It's pumped against the slope, so it's quite a big project, and that project will unlock the potential for mining as well as energy generation in Mpumalanga as well. We have a project that was actually opened by the president, President Motlanthe at the time, here in the Western Cape, the Berg River Water Project, and it's one of the highlights of the department, and that project will allow people in the Western Cape to have as much water as the demand suggests. We also have a rehabilitation project whereby our infrastructure is rehabilitated on a continuous basis, particularly the dams and canals. And during the year in question, we completed the rehabilitation of 29 dams, and we have 20 more dams that are still under construction, and 9 dams are at the design stage, whereby we are actually developing the actual designs for the structure of the dam. And we are spending quite a lot of money on all the projects that I've mentioned, Madam Chair. You're talking about close to 5 billion rand on all of them. In terms of performance against targets, there is a bill that was submitted to Parliament, but that bill was never tabled because there was a feeling that not enough consultation was done among the stakeholders and the department, and as such, that process was frozen. And as time goes, there will be a decision whether or not to proceed with that bill to establish an infrastructure agency. And during the time, we also wanted to implement the infrastructure projects in Limpopo, such as Nandoni Water Treatment Works. We had wanted to almost complete that project, and I'm happy to say during the period, we were in 95% completion of the Nandoni Dam in Limpopo. I've mentioned the FRESAP project that pumps water from the Vaal system to the upper valley in Mpumalanga from coal mining, as well as vessel needs in the eastern part of the country. Next slide. The Dewop Dam. The CFO has spoken about Dewop Dam, where we had some challenges and money were rolled over. But during that period, we had wanted to achieve about 30% of the work on the dam, and we managed to achieve slightly more than what we anticipated. Mentioned Inyaga Water Works, and that one, I think it's going according to plan. We achieved our target where we got to about 50% of project completion. We also have projects in other parts of the country, such as Lusuwe, and that is KwaZulu-Natal, where there was a bit of drought in the recent past, and there we had to actually build a dam and make sure that there is water available for the communities in that part of the country. And again, there we managed to achieve our targets. We wanted to be at 65% completion, and we got to 62, which is not bad at all. And the Nandoni bulk distribution, where water is actually circulated among the communities, we are busy with that project, and I think the trenches are there already, and there is some piping to get water from the dam to the communities in the area. Next slide. In terms of the rehabilitation project, we have improved the safety of some dams. There's what we call a dam safety project, whereby on a continuous basis we need to make sure that our infrastructure is safe for the communities in the vicinity. And that's why rehabilitation and refurbishment focuses on that. And some 12 dams were actually refurbished, and we know by now that they are safe given the people and everything else that is in the vicinity. And we also maintain infrastructure such as canals, and I'm happy to say we are on course. Our plans versus our activities are aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Next slide. The operationalization of the dams is also equally important because if you don't operate the dams accordingly, you stand a chance of actually destroying that infrastructure. And on a continuous basis, we need to make sure that the dams are operated accordingly. And that project is also well managed, and we have successfully developed plans and even implemented those plans for dam safety operation. Madam Chair, there's some more info that we've given, but I think it is for this committee to appreciate what else we are doing, and hopefully it will enable you to have questions in case there's something that you don't quite understand. May I end?
Thank you. There's another presentation that is coming.
I had a question that maybe you could, if you have any points of clarity, we could make them, because there are two presentations left. That's for finance and corporate services.
Okay.
But my most of those presentations, generally, are support function. I'm not sure. I will be guided by you, Chair.
Okay.
Whether you want to.
Okay. So what are you saying?
Madam Chair, I would strongly suggest that let them continue with the presentation. Yeah, maybe at the end, then maybe we can think of what is the way forward. Thank you.
I think if you can go to the corporate services.
Apologies, Chair, and honorable members, are still trying to open the document. Good afternoon, honorable members and Chair. My presentation has changed slightly to the one that you're having. The content is the same, but there were things that were repeated, and it was not properly structured. I have changed it a bit. It might not look exactly the same, but the content is exactly the same. You will be able to follow it from what we have presented. I will go straight to the performance for corporate services, and that performance is against for the financial year 2008-2009. Against the strategic objective of transformation of the state and society. And one of our key outputs was on the HR side, we were developing a new departmental structure, or helping the department to develop a new structure in the process of restructuring the organization. Of course, the important thing there as the key indicator was a finalized approved structure by the 30th of September 2008. Hopefully, that finalized structure would allow us, allow the department a degree of alignment, of aligning its processes. We didn't achieve that. We only managed to draft the org structure and submit it to DPSA for approval, which by the time the events overtook this process had not been done. On the legal services side, which is one of our other support areas, we provide support on legal services for the department on cases that of litigation that are brought against the department, and we also ensure that there's a degree of compliance with legislation. We completed 33 court cases during this financial year and successfully finalized them some water tribunal cases as well. On the compliance side, we drafted notices for water for registration of waste discharge and a notice to bring Section 18 of the National Forestry Act. On the human resources side, I will apologize for this scattered way this presentation is. It's because when we put together the business plan for that financial year, things were not grouped nicely together, so we had to reproduce it as it is. So on the human resources side, we also do like ensure that the department has got skilled personnel, and we also try to ensure that those people undergo proper training. We were intending to do a skills audit, which we were supposed to finish by the 31st of December. We couldn't do so, I think, on the main because we underestimated the dependencies on other functional areas in the department. We also wanted to have, well, the next one, again, this shows the scatter in the way we did these things. The degree of support of interns and bursary holders is for the Learning Academy, and it is one of the things I was trying to clean on this presentation, but it's also dealt with on the next on the next slide. One of the areas of corporate services, of course, is the corporate communications, and we do some stakeholder relationship management through them as well. And in that area, we do a number of media briefings and advertorials. And during the year in question, we had intended to do 4 media briefings and 6 advertorials. We did 6 media briefings and 43 advertorials, far exceeding our intended targets. We wanted to place the department positively via the media, so give the department a positive media profile. And this was done through activities such as the Water Week and the public engagements on water for growth and development. We achieved those targets. I think that those two activities on the main were very good things to portray a good media profile for the organization. We also try to engage the public to try and make the public aware about what is happening in the department and show them what programs we are having in the department. And some of this, of course, was done during the time when we were also having forestry as part of our department. So there were 10 forestry-related public awareness programs. Perhaps the DDG Forestry would know more about those. but this was against the target of four forestry campaigns that was planned. On the gender mainstreaming front, we also set up the women's organization, Women in Water and Sanitation and Forestry. This, according to the target, was supposed to be done by 31st of March, but we only managed to launch it in August, which is still a good achievement considering the work that had to be done there. On the disability side, we also do campaigns to try and make people aware of issues around disability. One of the main ones for me is the Take a Disabled Person to Work campaign, a number of which is one of the interventions that we do, and that was one of the six interventions that we achieved during the year in question. On the transformation side, which includes youth development, which is not necessarily organizational transformation, but also look at transforming the society at large, we had intended to be involved in the expanded public works program to try and empower the youth there. And in doing so, we're supposed to develop a national youth development strategy. That was not done because the key person in this program was moved to be involved more on the Transformation Journey project. That was a huge project to transform the organization. We were also supposed to develop strategies develop strategies and implement them, which meant that out of those strategies, we had to come up with interventions for youth empowerment. One of the key ones that came out of those strategies was the development or the training of youth in the regions or in the provinces in the normal lingo. And we did these trainings in all of the provinces, which meant that we did those interventions in nine provinces, meaning that we far achieved our initial target of six interventions. Still on the youth, but now on a different angle. Which is the angle of the Learning Academy now. The Learning Academy has got three main legs, which is the provision of bursaries to people who have just passed matric, and to also take students graduate, take them through a training program, which is called the Learning Academy. As well as another leg of internship. So on the graduate side, we had 100% intake of bursary holders, which means those who had now passed their degrees, they had to be taken into the Learning Academy. So we were able to take 100% of them. These figures are important because they are linked to the budget. There are times when it would be difficult to take all of those graduates if our budget is not sufficient. So in this particular instance, we were able to absorb all of our bursaries. And during the same year, we also added an extra 42 bursaries to the external people. Which means people who are not working for the department. We had an another 290 people who are working for the department who were given bursaries. One of the important things in the Learning Academy, after about 3 years' experience of implementing Learning Academy, is to ensure that these interventions or this work has got impact in the end, which is why we want to determine whether this Learning Academy is making an impact at all. So we had intended during this period as well to undertake a post-training impact assessment by developing tools and actually implement those tools. We have not been able to achieve this. It has not proven to be a simple exercise, but the tools are in the process of being developed, and in this current financial year, we will be able to do this post-impact assessment. I think this is one, again, area, this is a repetition of the past, so I'm going to skip this slide. This, again, goes back to the repetition. These are the things I was trying to clean in the presentation that you are having in front of you. On the HR side now, and these are basically the tools that allow us to work to function properly within HR. We wanted to develop policies to ensure that the we are guided by a proper governance in our execution of our HR work. Six HR policies were approved, and there are still six other ones that were in draft by the end of the financial year. A few of those would have gone through the process or are going through the process of approval. An HR strategy was developed, and a grievance protocol was developed, but this still needs to be communicated to the entire department, because we still get a lot of problems when it comes to following these grievance protocols, or how people should handle them from the side of the managers and the side of the people who are aggrieved. We've got a performance management system within the department, which of course is run within HR. HR ensures that people comply with that performance management. We try to ensure that we push line functional areas to comply with the performance management, to set up performance agreements, to do performance reviews, and also in the end to do the final performance assessment. There are other issues when it comes to compliance. There are issues around probation management. There are issues around financial disclosures and the resolution of grievances, which I've already referred to. During the year in consideration, we managed to to have 97% of the organization having disclosed their financial issues. The 90% reduction in grievances on the main has to do with the awareness by our labor relations team. Probation management, again, are issues that managers should be aware of, but HR has to ensure that they keep in touch with line managers to ensure that this probation is managed properly. HR is not obviously, I think, functioning at the level that the organization would like to function at, which was why we had to develop a turnaround strategy and implement that strategy. The strategy was saying that we have to perform things like the job evaluations, which we should implement for the whole department. Would have to increase the turnaround time around the recruitment and selection, and turnaround time for leave processing. We have on the leave side, we have reduced the number of days to 5 days. At least during that year, that's where we were at on average. And the JE drive, although implemented, I must say it has it's still not moving as quickly as it should, and recruitment and selection as well is not moving as quickly as it should. On the service delivery improvement side, through adherence to standard, we will claim that we have achieved our 80%, but other people in the department would beg to disagree with us. But that is how we assess ourselves as corporate services. I'm not sure how much time do I still have. Okay, I will only try to limit myself to areas such as corporate services, because we've also got IT in the department, which I'm not sure that the committee would really be so much interested in. Improving understanding of awareness issues, we have done that. I think I can skip that. The org structure is a repetition. Effective security plan, we have got the administration function in the organization, which deals with issues around facilities and ensuring that those facilities are secure. We do a number of things, including vetting of the staff, but on the vetting side, the actual performance there is that 36% of the SMS was vetted. On security breaches, our intention, of course, is to eliminate those, but we can't completely do so. So there were 26 incidents of security breaches. The compliance and the other stuff, I think we can skip that. Awareness, there's again an awareness issue, but most of these awareness issues, really, we can claim to have had so many workshops, but one part of the problem is that some of these workshops, or most of them, are not well attended by line. We cannot completely eliminate theft and loss, but there were zero losses reported during the year in question. This is the IT part that I thought I could skip, and it's the area that I could elaborate on, but I don't want to do so. I'd go on and on if I were to do so. I will skip that. Future performance, which is how we have structured ourselves for the current financial year. The most important thing to look at there is that we have a different strategic objective, which is to is the organizational growth and development, and there are a number of outputs along the leadership model, the organizational culture, interventions, health, the wellness and health. healthy employee relations and aligned organizational structure, improved implementation of PMTS, capability statements in place, vacancy management. These are all HR issues that we are doing our best to try and improve. This is all human resources stuff. The implemented MSP stuff is, again, your IT stuff that I would rather not talk about now. Then, of course, we've got our legal issues and communication issues as well. So the future performance really is about improving on the way first of all, we improve on our performance generally, but also the way we, the kind of work that we are doing, we have to state it in a way that we can be able to measure, because some of the issues that we encountered with the previous financial year was that our outputs and indicators were not stated clearly. This is what we have tried to achieve with future performance. I think I will end there, Chair and honorable members. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Vakalisa. There is one document that is left, but I don't know, honorable members, because when I look at this document, it's not different from the one that Mr. Yaya was presented. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong about the Department of Water Affairs Finance Branch.
No, it differs in the sense that it speaks to the branch.
It speaks to the branches.
Yeah,
it speaks to the branch and what it does and what it plans to do in terms of financial management as a sub-program within the administration. You may have picked up that all the presentation we made speak to certain elements of our programs.
Yeah.
Like corporate services and finance fit into administration. Mm-hmm. Then we have water services, we have infrastructure and all that.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable members, that's the presentation that we have got from the department. I think you have picked up all the things, the questions and the clarities. I think I must hand over to the members, because now the time is 5:30. We've got some other issues that we need to do, so at least we must ask the questions and clarities. What is it? Honorable Mukhora?
Yes, thank you, Chair. With regard to questions, I don't think there's many papers here that has been presented, and I don't think we shall be able to ask questions and complete before our time is up. I would suggest that we do not ask questions. We will ask questions in writing and probably send it to the department for written answers, and then they can come to us and we can look at them. And if the need be, if there is a need, then we can probably, you know, at a different time, try and make some arrangement to consult with the department.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Mukhora. What is other matter of affairs? Honorable Tipia, that you want to ask questions?
No, there's nothing opposite, but I just want to make one comment before questions. I might forget it when they come back again.
Yes. So are you agree with what Honorable Mukhora said? Oh, yes.
Mine, it's just an open invitation to Mrs. Where is the name now? Mbaza.
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 Yeah.
I want her to go to a town called Aberdeen, Gavrinet and Johnsonville. In the Eastern Cape and in the Western Cape, on the borders of Western Cape and Northern Cape, town called Redport. Just to go and taste the quality of the drinking water in that area. It is extremely bad. When you go to the town and just drink one glass of the water, you got sick immediately.
water tastes as if there is salt in the water. Pure white, take your glass, can't see through the glass. So I'm saying that is an open invitation to those areas of the country. Thank you very much.
So, do you have any comments, Honorable Mother?
No comment. I think the department is here. What is it? The honorable member says, I'm of the opinion that at least we must write the questions and you'll respond in writing. But we've got also some comments also to you, Ms. Bassa, about the, you talk about the project, 32 projects that we have completed. I think we need, as the committee, to go and see those projects. And another thing, you know, when you talk about the water and sanitation in the rural areas, you know, there are children who are drinking water from the dams, So more especially in the Eastern Cape, I think I would invite you to go to all those areas down there, not in the N2 now, deep down in the N2, N1. You must leave those things because those areas are benefit a lot. You must go down to the deep areas like Port St. John's, down there to check where the children, it's so frustrating when you see children drinking water from the dams. And there's also some another dam that I think you must also go and visit with us. Also in the Eastern Cape, at Lubisi Dam, there's a dam there. We need to go and see that dam. People around those areas, they don't even drink that water. The dam is there, but they don't even have access to that water. So I think there are so many things that we as the committee, we want to engage the department to go to those areas. When we go to the oversight, I think we're going to invite one of the staff from the national at least to go with us to see these things, because as we are here as the members of the NCOP, we are representing the provinces. So at least when the department present us with a so nice documents, fancy one. Mm. When you go down there, you don't see those things. You know. So I think, and also when you talk about the rollover, whereas there are some areas who need those monies. You know, if in, I don't know whether I'm a layman, I'm talking to a, when you say I'm a layman, I mean that when you've got the rollover, I think that money can be used in other area. You know, I don't know when you talk about the Hoop Dam where it was not done and then that money be the rollover. I think that money can be used. So when you talk about the rollovers, we feel as a committee not happy about that because the people on the ground are suffering. But I think by next year we must engage with the department fully to go to those areas, to see these areas. Leave the N2, leave the N1, we go straight to the deep down the areas. No flights now. We're going to no flights to be used. No cars to be used. We're going to walk and check those areas. So it's where the problem lies. So I think, honorable members, we're going to release the department in a good note that we are going to engage them early next year. When we come back, we're going to engage, we're going to do the oversight with them to go to the, Ms. Bassa, we're going to go with you to the dams to check those areas. Maybe if you can see, at least something can be done. Because something in the provinces, maybe they don't understand the procedures. And we need to monitor the provinces about the projects. Because even the provinces, I don't know whether they know their line what to do, but I don't know, but we need to engage yourselves. In those ways, I think we'll meet next year. Have a nice Christmas, nice journey. Don't drink and drive. drink water because it's your department. I think by next year we'll be meet again. So in those words,
have a nice journey. To the committee, I think we're going to be engaged with some one or two things. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Yeah.